Pray with me. God, we thank you that you love us enough to want all our questions. And as we open your word and spend time with you today, Father, I pray for each of us in this room that we'll be drawn to a deeper understanding of you so that we can see who you are and what you want for us. Let the words that are spoken be yours now, and give us ears to hear and an open heart. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I grew up in a time and a church, really, that taught that you don't question God. God is God, and you just take it. And really, those concerns and worries and even doubts that you have, you just suppress them because that's not Christian. It wasn't really till I got to seminary and really started studying the Word that I came to the understanding that doubt is part of who we are. And we serve a God who can handle any question that you have for Him. Even the hard ones. Turn with me this morning to John chapter 20. It's a story we all know well, and a disciple, it's about a disciple that we really call Doubting Thomas. He got pegged with that name because of this story. John chapter 20, I'm going to start reading at verse 19. That Sunday, this is following the resurrection of Christ. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them his wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." Then look at verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe unless I see the nails in his hand and put my fingers into them and place my hand on the wound on his side." Now look at verse 26. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." I want to stop right there. There's a couple of things that I want us to gather and understand here. Number one, I can relate to Thomas. He is hearing the story from people he knew very well. He had spent the last 3 years of his life living daily with these people. They had seen Jesus, and Thomas goes, "I don't really believe you." Now, he had walked side by side. He trusted them. But he said, "I don't believe you." He knew what they experienced. He heard what they experienced, but he hadn't experienced it. So he said, "Look, until I put my hands in his scars, I'm not going to believe." He had to wait 8 days. 8 days. What do you think those 8 days were like for him? I feel like there were a lot of questions. There were a lot of sleepless nights of, is it real? Maybe it's not real. I know what they said, but I didn't see it. 8 days. Then Jesus shows up again. Is he mad at Thomas? He's not. You know what Jesus did? Jesus met Thomas where Thomas was. Jesus came to Thomas and he said, here I am. Here's what you need to see. Put your hands here. And then he says, don't doubt anymore. One thing I've learned about this life, and especially the Christian walk, is there is nothing easy about it. You can see God do amazing things in your life, and 8 days later, you'll forget all of that, and you will be covered up in doubt. And you're wondering, how? Is there something wrong with me? How can I not believe? I'm sure Thomas asked himself that during those 8 days. How can I not believe? There's some things I want us to look at this morning about how to deal with this doubt. Okay, because doubt will be part of your life as long as you are breathing and on this earth. It's going to be there. So what do you do with it? Number one, do not view doubt as a bad thing. We're taught, don't doubt. Don't view that as a bad thing. Did Jesus scold Thomas for doubting? He didn't. He came to him and met him where he was. Turn here. You need to see this. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, I will make them white as wool. The thing I want us to focus on and see here is at the very beginning where he says, let's settle this. Your Bible may say, let's reason together. The thought here, the Hebrew, is we need to talk this out. We need to come to an understanding together. It's not, this is how it is and you need to believe it. This is God saying to you, I understand where you are. Now let's talk about that and get you to where you need to be. Which is exactly what God did with Thomas. He understood his doubt and he said, let me show you what you need so you can get where I need you to be. Don't view your doubt as a bad thing. It is part of who you are, and God will help you through your doubt. God will meet you where you are and bring you across that cavern of doubt that is keeping you from being everything he wants you to be. The second thing is understand that your questions are your questions and you need to get them answered. Don't think to yourself, how can I ask this question? Ask it and get the answer. God will answer your questions, all of them. I don't know where we're going, but I'm going to follow the Spirit here. So, Brian, come help me. Enjoy this ride. I don't know where we're going. Look in that drawer up there, and there should be a mic, the black one. You can be my mic runner in a minute. Okay. I do not believe that anybody in this room is here by accident. I believe all of us are brought here by divine appointment. And there's somebody in this room that may be really struggling with doubt. The passage in Jude that we read earlier, the next verse says, help each other through it. Help each other live this life, and that's why we're here. If you're in this room and you're really struggling with doubt of a variety of things, could be anything, know that God cares about you. And He brought you here for this moment. So here, I want to ask a question. I want honesty from all of us. Because remember, you're speaking to somebody who needs to hear this. Okay? If since the moment that you accepted Christ until today, there has ever been a moment that you doubted your salvation, let me see your hand. That's every single one of us. It's part of who we are and part of our life. There's going to be these moments when you go, is it real? I mean, is it what it is? Am I really saved? Is there something else I need to do? Do I need to come to a place that I'm not? Doubt is going to be part of your life. Now, if you're in here and you have struggled with doubt over maybe an issue, maybe your health, maybe your kids, maybe your relationships, your marriage, and you've seen God bring you through it, I want to hear your story. Just 2 minutes. Somebody needs to hear it. If you're willing to share it, you don't have to stand up. I'm going to bring this goofy guy to you. He's going to give you the mic. Who's been there? Who's faced life and doubted, and God brought you through it? There were 8 days, 8 days when Thomas had to go. He didn't hear anything. There are 8 days. Those are dark. Anybody else been there you want to share? It's coming to you, Jody. Just make sure it's on. You can try. Mr. Kennedy, you'll come up here. You're not scared of a crowd.
Well, some of you probably been in a place like I was when I came out of the coma after my COVID experience and didn't really know what was going on. There were some things that happened that I don't remember. But I do remember laying there one time thinking, is this all there is, Lord? I'd heard them tell her I wouldn't walk. I've heard them tell her I would be in bed the rest of my life. I'd be on oxygen, all these things. And while part of me said, Lord, this isn't all. I know you've got more for me. But there were a couple of times when I thought, maybe not. Maybe this is it. And there were a couple of times when my doubt was, I'll never get out of bed again. But he came through for me, and he showed me little by little with these little tiny miracles that were just giant in my mind, but small in other people's minds, that he's not through with us. Now we just got back from Peru, where we thought we would never go, and we're going to probably restart our Practically Speaking English mission, which we thought was done. So, yeah.
Back when I was when I lost my first child, I thought, or my only child that I lost, but I thought everything was going to be over. But God did come through with me, come through it for me, and got me through it, and just let me know that my son was special enough that he didn't have to go through the things in this world, and he just got to. But I lost my mother the month before. And that they were together, and he just told me all that, and that I could go on, and I did. And I grieved for quite a while, but I got through it. For God. God got me through it.
We've heard health, we've heard marriage, we've heard loss, we've heard doubt about just life. Anybody else want to share?
I guess the big one for me was about 2021 when I just got diagnosed. I went out to a college in South Carolina, very good Christian school. I got plugged into a good church. I felt like I was kind of in a place where I was finally back on track with my life and where I'm supposed to be. I'm on track team. Everything's going good. And then my health takes a nosedive. I lose about 40 pounds in 6 weeks, and I'm really asking God what's going on. I mean, I'm plugged in with a good church. I'm really involved. I have place where I go to chapel twice a week, and I'm just getting worse and worse no matter what medication I'm on. I mean, no matter what I do, it gets worse. And so there was a good period of time there, but I didn't understand. I had a lot of doubt as to what he really wanted for me, because it seems like when you're in the situation where you think is perfect, and God has something else for you. So he brought me back here and got me healthy, thankfully, but there was a lot of doubt in my mind with if this is as good as I think it's going to get, what else does he have?
Thank you. Anybody else? The 8 days of God's silence doesn't mean He wasn't working. Doesn't mean He wasn't moving. What doesn't mean He wasn't active.
When my grandson was in elementary school, his mother and father divorced. Father remarried a woman who was very abusive to him. And she shut off all communication between Ethan and the grandparents, as well as other family members. And it was a year that God was working in the background. And we were praying. And we couldn't talk to him. We couldn't see him. But we didn't know that God was working in this way. But the father ended up giving up parental rights, which meant that his stepfather could adopt him. And they established a new family with him. And he didn't have to even see this stepmother again. Praise God.
I'm always reminded of the story of a caterpillar going and turning into a butterfly. And this little girl saw the caterpillar struggling to get out of the cocoon. And she wanted to help him. And so she helped the butterfly break out of the cocoon. And you know what happened? The butterfly couldn't fly. And it died. Because the struggle of breaking out of that cocoon is what builds the muscles for the butterfly to fly. And so those 8 days when Thomas was struggling with the doubt of, is this real? Grew his faith. And he, like the other disciples, went on to share the message of Christ. But the doubt that is in our life, the struggle that goes on, makes us more of what God wants us to be. And He will use it. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're doubting, no matter where you're at, and we've heard all kind of stories across life, and there are more in this room. Because every one of us who give our life to Christ are going to struggle and are going to doubt. And God will use it to bring you closer to Him. So my encouragement to you is, if you're sitting here and you're really at a point where you go, I don't know. I don't even know if I can go another day. God's here. He's going to meet you where you are. And He loves you. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. It's an opportunity for you. If you don't know Christ, come to know Him. If you'll bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you're at the end of your rope and you don't know what to do next. And you're questioning God about, does He even still love you? If you want to come to this altar and pray, if you want to come down here, there's people that will pray with you. Be encouraged that God loves you. Stand with me and let's sing. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. I pray that as we go out those doors, you're reminded, even when you're in the dark, you're not alone. Pray with me. Father, take us from this room and use us to glorify your name. Let us carry your light to a world that needs your hope. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.